Accession number 27756, Reel 2.
Bill Hemming-Smith, Reel 2. You mentioned spinning.
Yeah.
To people who don't fly, spinning seems quite a terrifying thing.
It is quite frightening. The first time you do it, it is quite frightening.
How do you get out of a spin?
Well, you put on opposite runners, the way that things sprint, and push everything forward so that you go straight down and then ease back. As soon as the spin stops, you ease back.
Initially, is it hard to sort of push forward? Is that, or does that go against
it
your
is,
natural instinct?
It is. Well, you don't really want to do it. Start. I did, I must admit, it was quite frightening to start with. But once you'd done two or three of them, it wasn't too bad.
And did you practice forced landings or emergency landings?
Yes, in a field. He'd cut the motor and tell you to land. Once you'd done about 30 hours or something like that, it was almost like a toy. You could play with it, the Tiger Moth, and bring it down, swinging down.
Oh, is that side slipping?
Yeah, to get rid of the distance or the speed or something like that.
When you were doing the training, these are forced landings. You know, if you had to, were you always having to be aware of where you could land?
You were told to land in a certain field.
As the course kind of progressed, though, did you get that? Did you have to have that awareness that as you were flying along, that will be a good field if I had to make a landing, or that will be good?
Never thought about it. I should have done, I suppose, but I didn't think about it. But.
Were there any accidents amongst your fellows while you were at Elmden?
Accident? Oh, yes. Someone was killed. I forget who it was. I don't know what happened, but one pilot was killed. I think there were more people killed training than there were. So
the other aspect is the failure rate on the course. What happened to people who weren't passing the course?
I think they were sent to naval. Somebody said they went to coastal forces or somewhere.
Did you see them when they'd failed, or were they removed very quickly?
No, I never can't remember anything. Can't remember anyone.
Did you do any aerobatics at all at that stage?
Oh yes. Loops and rolls, yes. Roll off the top.
Is it an easy aircraft, the Tiger Moth, to do aerobatics in?
Very easy. Very easy indeed.
I've heard some people say sometimes it's a little bit too light, that in the sense it gets blown around a little bit by...
Well, of course, both that is so, and of course, that hasn't all that much power. But, no, I've found it... As far as I can remember, I found it fairly easy. And when you do the test at the end, I think you have to do some aerobatics. If I remember rightly then, I think we did have to do the aerobatics part of the test.
So for somebody who didn't want to fly initially, by the end of your elementary flying, how were you feeling about having done flying? Had you caught the flying bug?
Oh, I had, yes. I was enjoying it.
What was the next move from Elmden? Where did you go then?
I went to Canada. Ontario, Kingston, Ontario. We went to the RAF distribution place at Liverpool. Heaton, was it called? Something like that.
Is it Heaton Park?
I forget.
Heaton Park?
Was it? It was a big RAF place. And then we were put on a taken over to Belfast, actually. It's the only time I've ever been in Belfast. And on a cargo boat over... Oh, no, it wasn't a cargo boat. It was some sort of semi-passenger thing to Halifax.
Did you do that in convoy?
Two ships. It was a fairly fast thing, this. I think it was two ships, yes.
And when you got to Canada, what was the aircraft you were training on there?
Harvard. The whole time.
Given that you've been flying with the Tiger Moth, what was the Harvard like?
Oh, very different, of course. It was a real aeroplane. The wheels came up and that sort of thing. No, it was a very different thing.
Was it much more powerful?
Yes.
Did that create any problems initially for you or any of your fellows?
No, not to my knowledge, no. We fitted in quite well from Tiger Moths. Some people went to different places to probably America somewhere, I don't know.
Is it Pensacola?
Yes, probably.
With the Harvard, what was again the sequence of instructions and how did it differ from your elementary flying training? What was the things that you were learning with advanced flying?
Oh, it was much more intensive. It had more instruments to start with. And it had its landing was different, and it had flaps, which had to be put down. I can't remember whether it had a contra-rotating prop or not. I think it was a solid prop. There were lots of lessons on what. But I honestly don't remember much about Canada.
Who were your instructors there?
The RAF people. He was a sergeant. If I remember rightly, he had more than one person there. Whereas I think at the Tiger Moth there was only one. I think he had more than one, because you used to have to do a lot of sitting down. There was a lot of stud poker was played, if I remember rightly, and far too much smoking, which wouldn't have gone on today, probably, I doubt.
What were flying conditions like in Canada as opposed to flying
good.
In England?
Nice and clear air, and we used to fly down towards the Niagara Falls area there and back. No, it was very good.
And what about navigation in Canada? Was it easy?
That was easy, really, because there was a railway line and you just followed it and that told you where you were. And also electric cable, you could see them through the woods. I thought navigation was fairly simple there.
And given the weather conditions, were you able to fly every day?
Yes, I think so, very nearly. Yes.
And during this period, and also the period while you were in the UK, were you given ground instruction as well on subjects?
Oh, yes.
What were they?
What were the instructions?
What type of things were you given ground instruction on?
You were given instruction all the way through on different types of enemy aircraft and things like that you will come across in later life, or they expected you to come across.
Did you have anything on meteorology or navigation? Were they also concerned?
Yes, oh yes, very much about the clouds and everything. Cumulonimbus and nimbus clouds. You used to know, or you were supposed to know what was what. If I remember, there was a written exam of some sort in Canada, but I can't remember much about it.
Were people still failing the course by the time they got to Canada?
I can't remember anybody failing the course.
Had they really been at Elmdon, most of the ones who hadn't gone for?
Yeah, I think so, if they hadn't. If they got through Elmdon, they should have got through the next lot, really. Well, it depends. I don't know what the chief instructor thought. I can't remember whether they cancelled anybody. No.
And with that, did you do any sort of bombing practice and air firing practice in the Harvard? Because I think it had the capability to do it, didn't it?
You got me there. I can't remember. You should have done, I would have thought. But I can't remember it.
At the end of your period in Canada, is that when you received your wings? Was it at that stage?
When you came home, yes. You had your wings.
Had there been any selection for what you were going to do as the next stage of your training at that time in Canada?
You selected either to go for fighters or for bombers. And I was picked for fighters.
Is that what you wanted to do?
Yes.
It was clear that at that stage that was what you...
Yes, I wanted to go on to fighters.
When you returned to the UK, you say that's when you received your wings. Is that when you were also commissioned returning to the UK?
Yes. Sub-lieutenant, if I remember rightly, because I was 20. Yes.
And where were you posted to?
Yeovilton. Yeovilton was the... first of all, we went to a place, Donibristle, I think it was, or somewhere near Donibristle, where we flew... I don't know what they were, because... You were going to start on a single seater job then. Was only for a fortnight, and then down to Yeovilton.
Would it have been something like the Master or the Majestor, something like that? Was it a training aircraft?
Yes.
As opposed to an operational aircraft?
It was a two-seater job. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it was. I haven't got my book, you see. I can't see.
When you arrived at Yeovilton, what was the course like there? How did that... Because obviously you're now training to be a fighter pilot.
More intensive. We were trained, funnily enough, on Hurricanes. But did deck landings on Fulmers, which were dirty, great, heavy things. They were used as fighters, but I wouldn't like to have fought with them. I didn't. We did the usual single-seater training. You were sent off in groups and did a lot of formation flying. And there we did bombing, I think, firing. I can't remember firing. And I think we went to Warmwell. To do the firing. Is that near the sea? I think it is, yes. Must have been there. Do the firing. We also did blind flying in an Oxford, I think it was. This was because we were also using those automatic things. What were they called? Stationary things, you know. Oh dear!
Was that like an automatic pilot?
Hmm?
Would it be an automatic pilot? Or
yes, but they were called No, sorry. But it's a small thing, about the size of the size of the table. And you, and the hood goes...
Oh, the link trainer.
Yes, link trainer, sorry. Link trainer, and also a couple of trips in an Oxford, I think.
How easy is it to trust your instruments with blind flying?
I was fairly good on the instruments, fairly good. The thing I wasn't good on was the Morse code, but otherwise I think I was all right. I was all right.
Did you do any air-to-air gunnery? Did you do any air-to-air gunnery while you were at Yeovilton?
Yes.
Would that involve a drogue?
Drogues, yes, with cameras.
Can you explain how you had to do that? What type of an attack you'd have to make on a drogue? The sort of things that you were...
You had to learn how to set it off on the gun sight. I don't think I ever saw any of the pictures that they took. I don't know. I suppose they were all right. We also did long distance, low level trips, right on as close to the ground you could get, down to Cornwall, the end of Cornwall somewhere. Must have frightened all the people for miles around.
What's the sensation like of flying at low level?
Oh, it's very thrilling. Quite thrilling to fly at low level.
What was the Hurricane like? Because you said you trained on the Hurricane as an aircraft.
Hurricane was a nice aircraft to fly. Very nice. Heavy, I suppose, compared with the Spit. But it was a nice aircraft to fly.
What about visibility? Did it have good all-round visibility?
Yeah, the visibility was all right. All right. The visibility other thing was just about the same, the one you did the deck landings on.
Oh, the Fulmer.
Fulmer.
What did that entail, doing the dummy deck landings in the Fulmer? How was that all?
The whole time, round and round and round, landing just on the end of the aerodrome. A leg on one landing, and I had to go. I was told that I only had one leg, so I landed it on the one leg. It was all right. No trouble. Well, it spun round, of course, but it didn't go upside down or anything.
Did you have to use a batsman for those landings?
Oh, yes, a batsman the whole time. Yes, a batsman.
And what does he do? What's his role?
Well, he's batting you, batting each aircraft in as they come round. It must be quite boring for him. And then they asked you to do it on your own sometimes, as long as you landed right at the end of the runway, close to the end as possible.
And I believe that the Fleet Air Arm has a slightly different way of landing to the RAF.
The RAF come in at speed. It's a very different thing. Bringing in an aircraft like a Spitfire at speed is a piece of cake. But landing a Spitfire on a deck is a very different kettle of fish.
What type of landings did you have to do?
All told, you mean?
Well, I was thinking of how is that... You say it's a different thing. What's the type of technique that you have to use in the Fleet Air Arm?
Well, you have to be able to land at the end of the deck, the start. Otherwise, you'd be off the other end.
So does it have to be a three-point landing?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily, but you should be just about on the stall and ready to land. That's why they had trouble with the Spitfire, because its legs are so weak compared with the other type, American-type aircraft.
When you had a problem with the Fulmer's leg, was that what had happened there? Was that had you landed a little bit too heavily?
I must have landed a bit heavy. Yes. must have landed and it was just hanging off. And they told me just to land, I did. Then I have to fill in an A24 or whatever it was.
Was there an investigation into that at all, or was at that stage?
Never heard another word about it.
You say the Fulmer was much heavier
than
the Hurricane.
Oh yes, I think it was.
What impressions did you get of that as its potential as a fighter?
Well, of course, I only did deck landings in it. We went up and to the Clyde and did 4 deck landings on the Argus, and that was it. You were a fully qualified pilot then. They could ship you anywhere.
But given your later experience with other fighter aircraft, would you have said the Fulmer would have had a good potential as a fighter, or was it
no,
too...
No, I'd say it was too awkward. No. I wouldn't have wanted it compared with a Hellcat, for instance. I would prefer a Hellcat any day of the week. And a Hellcat for landing was a perfect aircraft for landing on deck.
Was the Fulmer a heavy aircraft, or was it...
Oh, yes, very heavy.
Was it meant to take more than just a pilot as well?
Oh, yes, that's take an observer as well. There's always two people in a Fulmer.
So would it have been suited, do you feel, for fighter operations?
Well, it was. It was used for fighter operations in the Med, I think, and other places. So I believe, but that was before my time, really. We've now got to about Christmas 42.
When you were training, who were your instructors at the Advanced Fighter School? What was their background?
They were Fleet Aerom pilots then. That's the first Fleet Aerom instructors we'd met. They'd all presumably done service elsewhere, which was normal to go back as an instructor, which I did myself in the end.
Were they able to impart much knowledge to you about operational conditions?
Oh, yes, I think so. Well, most of them, I don't know, a lot of them hadn't met any enemy aircraft or anything, I don't think. But they'd done deck landings and they'd been on ships, I suppose.
When you did that training on the Argus, how would you make your approach to do a deck landing? What's the procedure for coming in to land on there?
Come in on the turn, I did, and then straighten out. Whereas the Americans come in from a distance of behind, I believe, is their method of landing.
And what's the system as you landed on the Argus of what does the aircraft have to do as it puts down on the deck? I'm thinking, how does it catch hold? What's the system?
You have to have it just about on the stall, then cut everything. And it should land and stop and catch a wire. Try to catch the early wire. But a lot of people went over the side. There must be more aircraft in the bottom of Lamlash Bay than there is anywhere else in the world.
Was there an arrest of wire should you have missed the hook?
Oh, there was a barrier, yeah. I think there was a barrier. Yes, there was a barrier.
What was the sensations of doing your first deck landings?
Absolutely terrified. Terrified. But once you'd done it, you think, oh, Christ, it's not as bad as all that.
Does it seem a very small area when you first
Yes, it does a bit. It does. But as you get closer to it, it looks larger. The escort carriers, of course, looked a lot smaller. But then I was only using Wildcats then, and they're fairly easy to deck land.
When you did that on the Argus, when you were landing on the deck, would you literally make one landing and then take off straight away to make another?
No, because you're hooked. No, you go back and you start all over again. I think we did four.
And was that what was needed to pass that stage? Did it have to be four absolutely correct?
And you were qualified. If you didn't go over the side, a lot of them did.
Did you see anybody go over the side while you were doing it?
Yes.
What generally happened for them to go over the side? What was the cause of it?
They came in askew slightly, and the wire pulled them over the side as much as anything. And they dropped. I didn't see, everyone got out that I saw, and I never saw anyone hurt or anything. Not then. No.
So once you'd finished the advanced fighter course,
yeah.
Where was your first posting after that?
Up to the Orkneys, to the Fleet Requirement Unit, 771, I think it's called, at Twat. Which is an odd name for a place, I must admit. I remember being told that in a lecture by someone when I first joined. So some of you end up in Twat, he says. And sure enough, I did. And they had all sorts of stuff there. Rocks and skew, all the old aircraft that had come off the ships. Gladiators, martinets as well we had for drogue towing. We used to use martinets and also use swordfish for drogue towing. I had a very funny experience with a martinet. I was right over the flow. We'd been drogue towing. Of course, you had an air gunner in the back who did the drogue. I suppose I was about 6,000 or 7,000 feet. But I had a coolant leak. And I don't know if you know what a coolant leak is, but it gets into the engine and the whole smoke comes pouring out and eventually the engine stops. So I said to the chap, you better put your parachute on. I said, we're going down now, there's no doubt about it. And I could see the fields just off the flow there, and I thought, well, we'll probably make that. We went down and down and down. And just got over the cliff nicely. And landed in the field, wheels up and everything, went through a couple of hedges and came to a blinding halt, jumped out and to get the other fellow out, and there was nobody there. When I told him to put his... he jumped out and he was picked up by a destroyer in the flow. And probably it's just as well he did jump out, because that gave it less weight and we got over. Never thought of it. That was certainly life number two.
What was the role of the fleet requirement units? What did they do?
We did dive bombing, not with real bombs, just dive bombing. Give the gunners practice is what it was for. Drogue towing. So that they could fire, at the drogues, and torpedo runs in swordfish. That was quite fun, as long as you weren't getting fired at.
Did you do any kind of radar collaboration?
No, never did that.